welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, September 2nd, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us a new member, Amy Harwell. Amy and her husband Fisher have a three-year-old son named Graham, and I hope you get to hear a little bit about her family at the end of the podcast. She'll also share with us about things of life and faith. Thank you, Amy, for joining the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me here today. It is such an honor to be here. Our first reading is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verses 23 to 29. He said about Naphtali, "Naphtali, enjoying approval, full of the Lord's blessing, take possession to the west and the south." He said about Asher, "May Asher be the most blessed of the sons. May he be the most favored among his brothers and dip his foot in olive oil. May the bolts of your gate be iron and bronze, and may your strength last as long as you live. There is none like the God of Jeshurun, who rides the heavens to your aid, the clouds in his majesty. The God of old is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He drives out the enemy before you and commands, 'Destroy!' So Israel dwells securely. Jacob lives untroubled in a land of grain and new wine. Even his skies drip with dew. How happy you are, Israel! Who is like you, a people saved by the Lord? He is the shield that protects you, the sword you boast in. Your enemies will cringe before you, and you will tread on their backs." Our second reading is Psalm 97. "The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. Let the many coasts and islands be glad. Clouds and total darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness. All the peoples see his glory. All who serve carved images, those who boast in idols, will be put to shame. All the gods must worship him. Zion hears and is glad. Judah's villages rejoice because of your judgments, Lord. For you, Lord, are the most high over the whole earth. You are exalted above all the gods. You who love the Lord, hate evil. He protects the lives of his faithful ones. He rescues them from the power of the wicked. Light dawns for the righteous, gladness for the upright in heart. Be glad in the Lord, you righteous ones, and give thanks to his holy name." Now we will read Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. "The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' Now all of this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet: 'See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel,' which is translated, 'God is with us.' So when Joseph woke up, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. He married her, but did not have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Amy, for joining the podcast today. I want to hear a little more about you. Tell me a little about yourself and where you grew up.
Well, hello. I'm Amy. My husband is Fisher and my son is Graham. And I was born and raised in Southern California. Spent almost all of my life there until we moved here.
Tell me a little bit about how you got to Birmingham.
Fisher is from here, and so he moved out to California about 10 years ago, which is where we met. And then the time just seemed right for us to make a move and to start a fresh adventure. And Fisher got a job opportunity, and his family was here, so it just seemed like the right thing at the right time. And so we moved here from California in December.
During the pandemic.
During the pandemic.
Oh my goodness, that had to be a difficult time to move. What did you learn in that process?
Well, at least for me, any time is a difficult time to move. Moving has to be in my top two least favorite things to do in the whole world. I learned that I'm stronger than I thought I was. Mm. It was a very, very stressful time that, you know, cross fingers and send prayers. I hope to never repeat ever again. But we made it through, and we made it through, I think, stronger than we were before we started the process.
Tell us a little bit about how you found Mountain Brook Baptist.
Yes. Well, after moving here, finding a new church home was probably my very top priority. So I started exploring the local churches around and went to a couple for a service or two before I found my way into Mountain Brook Baptist. And from the very first time I stepped into that sanctuary, it felt like home. Mm-hmm. The people in this congregation are supernaturally nice, wonderful, warm, caring people. I mean, people were so lovely to me, a perfect stranger in their congregation. It just meant the world to be welcomed in such a beautiful, lovely way. And then, of course, I heard the choir sing, and then it was a sure shot from there.
Now that makes sense to me, because now I know that you are a vocal performance coach and you love to sing. Mm-hmm. So tell me what you thought about when you heard the choir, and how did you get connected with them?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing I thought when I heard the choir was that they must be a professional choir. They're incredibly good. And I know that people that attend this church, and especially that attend the traditional service, know that they're an incredible choir, but like, wow, they're nothing like the choir that I grew up in. And honestly, with the pandemic and the way everything had been shut down and moved virtually, I hadn't sung for myself in a couple of years. And I just knew when I heard that choir that I wanted to be able to sing again, and that I wanted to be able to sing again in that group. And so I reached out to Kelly and got hooked up with a choir, and have been just loving being a part of that ever since.
And we're so grateful that you are a part of that. You were also a part of a growth group this mm-hmm. past year. Tell me a little bit about your growth group.
Yeah, I had been attending the Moms Growth Group, which meets on Monday evenings. With Angie and Taylor, and it was great. I mean, honestly, after the move, I just wanted to get plugged in as many places as I could. You know, once I knew that, like, there are some really special people at this church, I was just like, where can I go meet more of them, you know? And so I end up in the growth group, and what a wonderful group of women. So encouraging, in kind of a similar phase of life as I am, in the sense that there are kids, small kids, and lots to share and lots of stories to tell.
Speaking of kids, I want to back up here and talk a little bit about your son, Graham. Tell me about him. What is he like, and what does he like?
Yes. So Graham is 3 years old now. He's in a huge dino phase. Huge. I honestly do think that the dino phase helped me read the genealogy because I've been practicing getting long, challenging words out of my mouth for probably 6 months. Man. So it made that just that much easier. He's a great little dude. He's more of a quiet type, very thoughtful, very observant. He's not necessarily one to want to jump into the fray. He just wants to, you know, see what's going on. You know, but he absorbs so much. I know kids do that, but it always just catches me by surprise, you know, things you don't think that he knows. And then he comes out with it and you're like, are you Einstein? Like, where did that come from?
And tell me a little more about Fisher. What does he do for a living? And then how did you guys meet?
Yeah. So Fisher is a lumber broker. And he's awesome. He's awesome. He's a lot like me in some ways and very much not like me at all in a lot of other ways. So we complement each other well. We are coming up on our 7-year anniversary this fall. And we met online probably close to 10 years ago now. I had been actually dating somebody else who, I don't know if you have this term in Alabama. You can tell me if this is a thing. But in California, we call it ghosting.
Yes, I know that term. That term?
Yeah, I had been ghosted by a gentleman who shall not be named. And I got all up on my high horse and decided that I was going to set up some first dates because I didn't need that. And there are other fish in the sea. And so I set up 3 first dates in a week because I'm nothing if not thorough. And Fisher turned out to be date number 3. And the rest is history, as they say.
History. Well, I'm so glad that you are together and that you both have made your way to Birmingham. Your family is a gift to our church. Amy has shared with me her personal testimony before, and I wanted her to share it with the podcast as well. Amy, how did you first get introduced to the gospel? And then tell me about the process of the Lord and your journey with Him.
Mm-hmm. I grew up in a household where image was more important than anything. It was more important than substance, more important than the truth of what was actually happening. And part of that was that we were a family that went to church. And so we did. We went to church from as long as I can remember, as little as I can remember back. And it was there that I started singing in little children's choir. I remember being dressed up as an angel. At some point, I was a sheep. I might have been a cloud once. I don't know what that was about. Am I the Holy Spirit leading Moses? I don't know, but I was a cloud. And that was my connection to the church. Unfortunately, none of that ever made its way home. And so church was a thing we did on Sundays, and then the rest of the week we lived our own lives. And that was the way of it. And that went on my entire childhood. And I didn't think anything of it at the time. I didn't know that I needed anything else other than that at the time. But I grew up in church choir. I did it all the way through high school. I did it in college. And it's such an interesting thing to think back on now. Because growing up, I struggled with so much anxiety, with small bouts of depression, and just this feeling like there is a hole, there is something missing. And I remember very clearly looking for the answer to that hole everywhere I could think of, and nothing worked. And time went on. After college, I stepped away from the church. I went to grad school and moved back to California and went on living my very, very secular life. And, you know, still really struggling to find peace, struggling to find joy, contentment. And I remember one day being at home. I was in the office at home, and I remember feeling that nudge that can only be described if you felt it before, the nudge that said, open your Bible. And I had one. It was sitting on the shelf. I'm not sure if I'd actually ever opened it before. And I pull it down from the shelf and flip through it. And of course, if you've never opened the Bible before, I mean, what do you do with that? It's a lot. Where do you start? So of course, I turn to Google. Google knows all things. Where do I, you know, enter the Google search? And Google told me a lot of contradictory ideas. And I ended up in Philippians. And I remember opening to the first page, the first chapter, first verse, first few verses of Philippians. And I began to read, and I was absolutely astounded to discover that I knew those verses. Not just that I'd seen them before or that they were vaguely familiar, but that actually I had them memorized. Because what I hadn't taken into account through all of those years of singing in the church and singing for the church is how much I absorbed and how much of the music was pulled directly from the Bible. And it still takes my breath away today. I'll flip through, turn a page, turn to a new chapter, a new book, and I'll see things that just pull me right back. I can hear melodies on the pages.
So when you open up to Philippians, I'm kind of curious, what were some of the words you were reading on the page? And then can you give us just a line or two of the song?
Well, the first one that came up was Philippians 1, verse 2, when Paul says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." And I remember this one actually with a smile on my face because it was the adult choir in the church I grew up in used to do this piece called Notes from Paul, which is really pulling from lots of Paul's letters. But the opening line of this piece is this big, kind of grand musical moment with the, you know, brass and the timpani. And the choir is going, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." And it's like this big moment full of fanfare, you know? And so I read that. Every time I read that, it just kind of makes me grin a little bit. And I hear the whole line, the orchestration and everything. And then the next line in Philippians, verse 3, I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I don't know that I recall the tune, but that was another song that we did, another anthem that we did. I mean, it just kind of goes on and on.
And then when you're reading this, do you have that moment with the Lord? Do you say, "I know these songs"? What comes to mind next?
It's just this sense of like deep familiarity, you know, that as much as the act of reading this text might be newer for me than it would be for some other people, in another level, this text has been a part of my life since I was very small. So it just feels like home. And that was really when I began the journey of learning about Christ and learning what that meant for me and learning that I wanted that very badly for my life, that was the thing. I was probably 30, 31 years old at the time, and just figuring out that this was the thing I had been searching for my whole life. That doesn't mean that all of a sudden I snap my fingers and everything is roses, but that means that there are moments when I experience the peace beyond understanding that I knew had to be out there somewhere. I mean, this move that we made was as much a testament to that as anything else. I mean, I should have been a basket case, honestly, by the time we got here, but I wasn't. And it was very, very obvious to me that this was nothing of my doing. I mean, I still have my moments where I get worried or anxious. I still have my days, I call them my blue days, right? Where the world just seems like too much sometimes. But they're just moments and they're just days. And it is such a wonderful gift to know that I'm not alone and to know that there is hope for the future and that there is glorious life waiting beyond this one.
What is one of your favorite songs?
I have a favorite album.
Okay.
And it's Kristy Knuckles' Lullabies for the Beloved. And it is what it says it is. It's an album of lullabies, but they're so beautiful and they are absolutely for everybody. And, you know, it's just a testament to the power of music. I mean, music's an incredible thing. When I was pregnant with Graham, I used to sing along with this album all the time. Every time I was in the car, this was playing on, you know, the sound system, and I'm singing along. And after Graham was born, it just blew my mind, because Graham would be upset, he'd be crying, everybody would be, you know, I don't know how to make him stop crying. We gave him the bottle, we were walking with him, all of the things. And if I pick him up and I sing him one of these songs, darn it all, if he doesn't stop crying every time.
Because he heard you in the womb.
It's like the magic of music. Graham knew these songs before he was even born and recognized them after. I mean, it's just an amazing thing. And so I sing these to Graham every night at bedtime as well. So it's kind of become part of our routine, our daily routine.
Would you sing one of those for us?
I'll sing you a little bit of one of them.
Okay.
So this one is called Head to Toe. Little one, be strong in the power of the Lord, and let the keeper of the stars keep your heart forevermore. Even though you might be small, it is in you his kingdom reigns, and from your mouth the Lord has made a fountain for his praise. And with his righteousness across your chest, salvation for your head. The belt of truth around you now, with the shield of faith in hand. And with his peace upon your feet, everywhere you go, his word will be the sword you keep. Your covered head to toe.